To stand up and show my costume because I'm dressed up as the goddess. And this is the least well-known Finnish goddess called Panutar, the goddess of fire, because my starting point is that we need a lot of fire and passion in the global women's movement to deal with what is happening right now. Okay, the very first thing I want to do is say thank you to Genevieve once again for organizing a wonderful gift-sharing conference, and also my thanks to all of the organizers. The very first thing I want to show is how I'm trying to apply this gift economy shift in thinking in my own life by, first of all, revising my own title. The title was The Global Rat Race Revisited. And then I realized, well, the rats don't deserve to be called rats when there are humans who are doing what they're doing. So I want to apologize to the rats and shift my thinking back into the gift mode, and also shift my own mind to thinking also about the positive. So Pandora Revisited sums up the idea that really the powerful goddesses who are giving gifts and who are doing this in so many cultures and who have been overwritten and transformed into the roots of all evils, we have to go back and give them back their power and remember that Pandora really means gifts are everywhere. So that's my theme, and what I want to talk about is then the theme of the conference, which is that another worldview is possible. I would also like to bring you some tidings from my country, from Finland, from the north, and from the race, not the rat race, but the race to the bottom, which is arriving in Finland at frightening pace. I returned to Finland after 17 years in North America, and it was heartbreaking to see what had happened there and what is happening, and how one of the most egalitarian welfare states in the world, together with the other Nordic countries, are being dismantled and destroyed in a most sneaky, underhanded way, while a lot of people, including women and feminists, are not taking note and are not even noticing what is happening. While politicians are saying farewell to the welfare state, there's a lot of women, of course, around the world who are realizing what is happening. And I would like to also talk about why I feel that as part of this global feminist movement, it's important to pay attention to the eco-spiritual side of it, to a spiritual politics and a politics as spirituality, why that is needed. What is then and can be the role of this kind of a politically engaged movement in a moment when more and more countries are going along with the idea that we have to get women once again to help patriarchy achieve its ends of cost savings, efficiency enhancement, reduction of publicly funded services by accepting to do more and more unpaid work, unpaid emotional, domestic, and care labor. And again, I don't want to stress only the paid side of it, because women have been doing that happily unpaid for so long, but right now it's such an asymmetrical, exploitive system of forced gifts that this is what I'm reacting against together with many other women. So I belong to many grassroots and international citizens groups, but I want to talk a little bit about the eco-psychology group and how we are trying to make a change by recovering and reviving eco-friendly rituals which give power back to the people in terms of their spiritual and political power. And I would like to do it by showing pictures of the Finnish and Finno-Ugric goddesses, because I think that they are very important role models for how we can make the gift economy, the gift paradigm, the gift imaginary visible once again, because what patriarchy has done is rewrite all of those woman-positive myths of gift givers and label them as their opposites. And I have two theoretical concepts as a former academic, because I lost my job for the second time recently during this restructuring. So now I'm a free thinker, or I don't know what I am. But anyway, I still carry the overheads from my academic past. Master imaginary, which is my kind of, it has a lot to do with Genevieve's exchange economy, but I have worded things a bit differently. It echoes aspects of the self-interest and non-giving of the exchange economy, and it concept condenses the artificial and arbitrary dichotomies that have allowed white heteropatriarchal elite men and women as well to dominate nature women, native populations, and people of color, or as Bush likes to call them, people, women of cover. Among the central elements of the master imaginary are assumptions and projections of non-egalitarian difference. We all know these, primitives versus civilized and so on, which upon closer scrutiny are merely the ideological tools through which the dominant class has sought to control and subjugate those that it has the power to place in the periphery of power. The gift imaginary, before I talk about it, is the opposite, or it coexists with it, but in a different set of values. But I would like to flash some pictures now of the goddesses in the Finnish system, how they used to be and how they have been transformed. Here is a relative of the most powerful evil woman of the north, which condenses the Sami women and the Finnish women, Lokka. And this is when she still had the keys to power. And she looks a lot like our current president, who actually wears the keys of power during the independence party at the presidential castle. And this is how this powerful woman, who is a great provider and a great midwife and helper of women, and the force of life and death, how she has been changed. So now she is the gap-toothed hag of the north, the primal whore, and that's exactly how she is labeled. And she condenses the Sami woman, Sami indigenous woman, with second sight. In other words, a most castrating image for the men, a woman with a lot of inner power. And in a very, very classical picture, which epitomizes the patriarchal mythology with its non-spiritual message, here we have the white male hero representing the Finnish South and the Finnish nation in a violent posture against the Sami woman or the Northern woman. It's all of those together. Who is made to look not as virile as the man, and is made to look animalistic, and the men even are probably meant to be faggots. They're not real men, hegemonic men. And all of the shamanistic, eco-friendly aspects of this mythology are made to look really negative. So that sums it up. In fact, as I found out when I did my original research from the Finnish archives, the character has been completely changed from Kave, her mythological kin, kin relation and from the Sami Maderaka, who is actually the primal, the root of creation, and who has the box of plenty, the box of gifts, who is a gift dispenser, and who in this tradition has now been turned into this dark, evil woman with all of the negative associations in a Western context. Here we have an original, a picture of the original goddess, the pre-Christian goddess, Kave, who was the dispenser of all the good things in the Finnish context. Now, the point I'm trying to get to with these pictures is that right now, when in Finland, in the European Union, in North America, people are passive, in my opinion. There's a lot of apathy about what's happening to the welfare state and women's rights. I think on one level, women's power has been taken away, and all of these mythologies are transmitting the message that women don't have that inner power. And so we need to give that power back to them by rewriting, not even rewriting the traditions and narratives, but making visible all of the gift-yielding, gift-giving mythologies where women don't need to rely on fundamentalist religions for their authorities and for their values and for their guidance, but where they can get the guidance from themselves and revert to the previous system of solidarity, which is now a bad word in the Nordic countries. People don't talk about solidarity. It's an old, dirty word. So eco-spirituality is not a form of opium for the oppressed. I think that by transforming and replacing the psycho-spiritual motors of consumer market ideologies, we can only with that method bring lasting changes, because the economic greed and consumerist behavior rests on ideological and political rather than human premises. People are led to support the multinational corporations and an addictive patriarchy by their consumerist choices because they're filling a vacuum at the heart of being. A lot of women are aimlessly wandering in the shopping malls because there are no positive images really of women where they are defined in relation to their own desire and to their own connection instead of being defined in relation to consumerist values and to their role as the titillating importance in male life. So I think that helping women retap the spiritual root and find their power from there, not as a power over, but as a spiritual power, is a very, very powerful antidote to why we have so many passive women accepting the status quo and not resisting in any way. And I think that the problem with the fundamentalist religion, which has played such an important role in North America during the elections, and the same kinds of trends are to be seen in the European Union, with efforts to get religion recognized in the European Constitution. It wasn't done, but there were a lot of efforts to do that. I think that we have to really think hard, how is feminist spirituality and politics different from the fundamentalist religions, because that is where it seems to be people are looking for the meaning of their lives, apart from the economic side. And of course, we have to remember that the fundamentalist and patriarchal interpretation of the main religions stresses otherworldly salvation and citizen control, despite the rhetoric that doesn't reveal it. Whereas, at best, the feminist spirituality makes visible the contradictions and the way that religion justifies unjust division of power and an unjust distribution of the world's resources. And I finally had to think about what is spiritual wealth activism, because I was asked to speak at a conference called Humanizing Globalization. And then all of a sudden I get a letter saying that some of the committee members were very suspicious of having me come to this conference because I'm a feminist, very active in the pro-democracy movement, and feminists, after all, are not spiritual. They are secular. They're only into politics. And so, fortunately, there were people on the committee who had other kinds of ideas, and we, you know, when I'm saying fortunately, of course, I could have just simply decided not to go. Did I want to go? But it was a very promising meeting in many ways, and I just thought that was a moment for me to really start defining what is spiritual about what we're doing. And I found a wonderful definition from Audre Lorde, which I probably won't find now in my papers, but basically she's talking about Eros as a sort of definite important aspect of the women's movement, and how just connecting for the sake of connecting is erotic in the non-pornographic, in the non-sexualized, commercial, utilitarian way. And I think that's what makes all feminists in the global movement, in a way, spiritual, because it's not just the good deeds so that we can get to heaven or we can buy our way into the next level in the church, but it's the feeling, the rewarding feeling of doing, helping along the justice in the world for its own sake. And that's a form of grace, what they call grace in the Christian church. And so I think on that level, Eros is the connecting, solidarity-creating aspect of the women's movement is where it is so strongly spiritual. And I think that this is another important thing to theorize and to practice and to talk about, since there is a widespread idea that feminists are not spiritual. Okay, this is from a very old book in Finland. I've been collecting these pictures of the goddesses for a while. And this is also Kave, this great primal mother, creator of life, enhancer of life, helper of women in childbirth, who is here calling the divine bees. Who was very much a goddess of healing. It's really ironic to think that the goddess of healing was turned into the goddess of disease, but that is patriarchy in a nutshell. It's also shifting the blame on the most vulnerable member of society. In other words, there's science fiction novels written by Finnish-American man in the 70s, 60s and 70s, who is perpetuating the image that the source of evil resides in the deep north, in Lapland. So the association, even though it's not explicit, is that the most evil source in the world is an indigenous old woman. When you think that this person is the most likely victim of the current politics, it is really an incredible myth to circulate. Yet, in the original version of this combined Finnish, Finno-Ugric, Sami goddess, she's just the opposite. She is a dispenser of the gifts in various ways and of healing. Behind her, you see the crevice in the rock, and that's a very important space in Finnish mythology. And also in the other northern cultures, that's where the shamans would go into altered states. And in Finnish, there is a saying, go into your being. And I spell it with two E's because it's so often referred to as a meaty state. It has to do with honey, honeyed state. So it's being. And this being state is where you are in a space that is not patriarchal. It's beyond the dualities of the master imaginary. Now, in the Finnish language, we have a word, which I don't want to say, which means your word, C-T. And in Finnish, it's väki. And väki is linked probably with chi and ki, that primal energy. And women were believed to be particularly powerful in having this energy. And they would protect their men and their children by stepping over them with their legs apart. And men were said to even worship this place because it was the place of life and power. And since patriarchy became stronger, this place of power has become this dirty word that is used every day. I hear it every second. And it's denigrated women's sexuality and spirituality in every way. But it was linked with this place, this crevice, because that place is called by the same kinds of associations. It's the opening to the world of women, which is the world of the dead, and which is the place of healing. So there's a lot that that we can do to recover these places of power. I want to just refer to a book that I have coming out of Canada, which is a collection of the stories about the gift imaginary, the gift gaze, and a completely alternative worldview that has the circulation of care at the back. And the values that are the opposite of the master imaginary. This is the gift imaginary as I see it. The human, animal, and gender continuum of interdependency and connection as the matrix of values. Fertile rationality of care as opposed to the virile rationality of production and profits. Process for increased self-knowledge and love. Ethos of ethical and ecological belonging, which is a saying from Ariel Salle, who also says that the global women's movements, because there's been all this talk about racism within the movement, should form a strategic alliance without the need for consensus. But what would unite us, in her view, is that we are all re-sisters. We are not sisters in the global sisterhood, but we are re-sisters, because we all have something today to resist. And I would like to conclude with a slogan from the 70s, the 70s, which were the paradise for the Nordic equality, and to make sure that that energy stays there and comes back. So this final thing is vote for a woman for a change. Or for a man who is gift-giving.